Okay, we just wanted to tell you we're praying for you. Okay, all right. We've been doing a series together called The Unsearchable Things of God. And we go back in the Old Testament. You don't have to turn there, from Isaiah 55 that says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways. For as the heavens are higher above the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." And we've been looking at five things in the scriptures that deal with the unsearchable things of God. And I want to review them real quick. First of all, we looked in the Old Testament about God's greatness. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. That was Psalm 145, verse 3. And we talked about his glory, his mercy, his redemption, his power. Then we also talked about the greatness of his goodness and the greatness of his person. So we looked at that together. Then we talked about the riches of Christ, which we mentioned this morning during the breaking of bread. It's in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8. "Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, to preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ." And when we went through and looked at that, we went to the book of Ephesians and talked about the many different things, the unsearchable things of Christ that we have. And I just want to listen for you real quick that we talked about last time. We have grace, peace, we're blessed in Christ, we're chosen, we're sanctified and without blame, we're loved, we're predestinated, we're adopted, we're redeemed, we're forgiven, we're friends of God, we have an inheritance, we are to the praise of his glory, we're his ambassadors, we're sealed, we're given power, we're made alive, we're freed from Satan, we're raised up with him, we're seated with him in the heavenlies, we're shown kindness, created unto good works, made near, reconciled, made one new man, the enmity is removed, we're given access, we're no more strangers, we're fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. We're built on a sure foundation and in our holy temple of the Lord. The mystery has been revealed unto us, that we're members of his body, we're partakers of the promise, we're an object lesson to angels, we're indwelt by the Spirit, by the Lord Jesus, and God performs for us beyond our asking. Those were the 40 things that we looked at. And that, brothers and sisters, that was just in the book of Ephesians, if you remember. And so then the third thing we looked at is the love of Christ. And that was also mentioned this morning during the breaking of bread. We find it also in the book of Ephesians, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. You can never exhaust speaking on the love of God. Real quickly, we see in Ephesians that we might know the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge. And so, again, this is not our love for him. This is his love for us. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. And we saw the Lord Jesus himself said in John 15, "Greater love has no man than this, than he lay down his life for his friends." And nothing we see in the scriptures, nothing can separate us from his love. Paul writes in Romans chapter 8, "For I'm persuaded neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Then the last time I spoke, the fourth point was God's judgments and ways. And Paul writes in Romans 11, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. And we talked about how God's ways are higher than our ways and his thoughts than our thoughts. And we went through the Old Testament fairly quickly talking about, let me just give you a couple examples. Would we have ever chosen Jacob? No. Would we have sent Joseph to Egypt as a slave? Would we have called Moses, a man that was 80 years old? Would we have led Israel to the Red Sea to be hemmed in by the sea? Would we have attempted to cross the Jordan at flood time? Would we have taken Jericho the way they took it? Would we have sent Gideon's men home? You know, he had 32,000 soldiers and got him, took him all the way down to 300. And then we talked about, would we have chosen David to fight Goliath? And then we ask, would we have sent Christ to die on the cross? No, we would have not done that. We would have made salvation based on merit, on good works. We would have ever chosen Paul as an apostle. He was a murderer, a persecutor, a blasphemer. But yet God chose him as a witness to the Gentiles. And then the last thing that we want to look at today is point number 5. And now I want you to turn in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. And today we want to talk about the peace of God that passes all understanding. And we're in Philippians chapter 4. I'm going to read verses 4 through 7. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful or be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Brothers and sisters, we need to ask ourselves a question. How do we acquire that peace? How do we avail ourselves of that peace? And I think he gives us the answer here in this text. First thing he says is in verse 4, rejoice in the Lord. And again I say, rejoice. You know, Paul writes for us in Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. So the first thing we're to do to know that peace is to rejoice in the Lord. And he repeats it, again I say, rejoice. Then he brings us to verse 5. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Moderation can also be translated gentleness and forbearance. It's used 5 times in the New Testament. 3 times it's translated gentle. And we find it used in the Young's literal translation translates it forbearance. And so gentleness, forbearance. And so we're to let our moderation be known unto all men. Now notice, the Lord is at hand. Brothers and sisters, we're to live in the light of the Lord's return. Let's look at some other passages that talk about that. Turn with me to James chapter 5. James chapter 5. James chapter 5, as we're thinking about living in the light of the Lord's return. In James chapter 5, verses 7 and 8. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman or the farmer waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth and hath long patience for it until he receive the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. So as the farmer waits for the crops to come in and be harvested, we also are to live in the light of the Lord's return. Now, come now also to the book of Revelation, chapter 22. Revelation chapter 22. And we're going to look at verse 7 and verse 20. Revelation 22, verse 7 and 20. Revelation 22, verse 7. Behold, the Lord Jesus is speaking. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And so the Lord is exhorting us that he's coming quickly and to keep the sayings of this book. Then in Revelation 22, look at verse 20. The next to the last verse in the whole Bible. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. And John's response is, amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. And so we're to live in the light of the Lord's return. There's another verse in 1 John. It says, now my little children, abide in him, that when he shall come, we may have boldness and not be ashamed before him at his coming. And so come back now to Philippians chapter 4, and let's begin to look at verse 6. First of all, he says, be careful or be anxious for nothing. You know, that's easier said than done, isn't it? And Peter writes for us in 1 Peter 5, verse 7, casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. And the Lord Jesus addressed that when he was upon earth. I want you to hold your place there in Philippians and come with me now to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, beginning with verse 25. Matthew 6, verse 25. And I'll read it to you. If you don't want to turn there, I'll just read it for you. Matthew 6, verse 25. This is the Sermon on the Mount. The Lord Jesus is speaking to the multitude. And he says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which is today, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall ye not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after these things do all the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. Now verse 33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And notice how the Lord closes it with verse 34. Take therefore no thought after the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Don't we find it true? Every day we have our own difficulties and our own trials. And so the Lord exhorts us here to not worry about tomorrow. Now come back to Philippians chapter 4. Back to Philippians chapter 4. Notice he says there, be anxious for nothing, but in everything. You know, the Lord Jesus said that even the hairs of your head are numbered. And we just read that there's not a sparrow that falls, but lo, he knows it altogether. If it's small enough to bother you, it's big enough to pray about. And so that's what we see here in Philippians chapter 2. Now let's look at the next part. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. He mentions three things here: prayer, supplication, and with thanksgiving. The word prayer there is the Greek word prosuka, to pray to God. And it's more general. And then the word supplication is used. It's the Greek word deesis. And it means to pray for particular benefits. And then the word thanksgiving is used, which is grateful. It's the Greek word eucharista, which means a general acknowledgement of God's mercies. So prayer, accepting our circumstances, asking for grace in them, supplication for yourself to learn the lessons that the Lord wants you to learn in the trial, and then thanksgiving for the situation that you're in. So prayer, supplication, and thanksgiving we're to offer to the Lord. And so here we see, let your request, the next phrase is, let your request be made known unto God. Now, the Lord wants us to come before him and make our requests known unto him. Now, you were in Matthew a while ago. I want you to turn back to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, a familiar verse that all of us know. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. And here he says, ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. So we're to let our request be made known unto God. Now, I want you to turn back again to the book of James. James chapter 4. And notice what James tells us there. James chapter 4, verse 2 and 3. James chapter 4. I'll read the beginning with the first verse. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your lust that war in your members? Notice what he says. You lust and have not. You kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you have not because you ask not. Now look at the next verse. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss that you may be consumed upon your lust. We're to pray in the will of God. We're to pray in accordance with the will of God. And so that's what we see there in the latter part of Philippians chapter 4. Now come back now again with me to Philippians chapter 4, and let's look at the next section. We looked at verse 6. Now let's look at verse 7. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Notice he says here, the peace of God. Bob read that verse this morning. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. But here he's talking about the peace of God. Here he's speaking about inward peace. Remember the Lord Jesus said in John chapter 14, peace I leave unto you, my peace I giveth unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Now I want to read another verse to you. You don't have to turn there. I'll just read this one. This is from Colossians chapter 3, verse 15, where he says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be thankful. And so we desire not only to have peace with God, we desire to have the peace of God. And we're to come before him, as it says there, that we're to pray in the will of God, and we're to ask for the peace of God. Okay, come back now to Philippians 4 and notice the next phrase. There it says, which passes all understanding. It's beyond our comprehension. It's unsearchable. The word passes here comes from the word which means to rise above, to surpass. Paul uses it in Philippians chapter 3, verse 8, where he says, the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. That word excellency is this word passes here. And so we're to it says, which passes all understanding. Then the next phrase says, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. This word keep here, it means to protect by a military guard to prevent hostile invasion. The Lord protects our hearts and our minds as we pray in his will to keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Notice it's talking about here, shall keep your hearts and minds. Turn with me for just a moment to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. I know y'all, I'm giving y'all a workout today and looking up all these verses, so let's just stay together as best we can. 1 Peter chapter 1, the thought is keep here. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. For there he says, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. You know, our security is based not on our hold on the Lord, but on his hold on us. And we're kept by him, by the power of the Holy Spirit that indwells us. Okay, come back now to Philippians chapter 4 again. And we're going to wind up here in just a minute. I'm going to finish early today. Notice it says, what shall he keep? Your hearts and your minds. The heart and the thought life. The heart and the thought life. And how does he do that? Through Christ Jesus. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 1, all the promises of God are in him, amen, and in him, yes, unto the glory of God by us. So here we see the peace of God. We're talking about the unsearchable things of God. And the last point is the peace of God. These steps the Lord lines out for us is one of the means that we obtain the peace of God. This produces peace, which guards our heart and our mind in Christ. What is that? I wrote myself a note here. It says, it's the calm assurance that no matter what happens, we belong to him. Let me say that to you again. It's the calm assurance that no matter what happens, we belong to him. I want to read you a quote as we close from an old hymn by Tennessee Ernie Ford. It's called, Give to the Winds Thy Fears. Listen carefully to that. One of the verses in the hymn says, far, far above thy thoughts, his counsel doth appear. When fully he the work hath wrought that caused thy needless fear. Cleave to his sovereign will to choose and to command. Wait thou his time, so shall the night soon end in glorious day. So his thoughts are not our thoughts, and his ways are not our ways. As the heavens are higher above the earth, so are his ways higher than our ways, and his thoughts and all thoughts. And brothers and sisters, he doeth all things well. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your promises. We thank you for the peace with God and the peace of God. We commend the remainder of our day to thee. We pray that you'd lead us by your Holy Spirit and help us, Lord, to enter in to the things we've discussed today, that we might apply them to our lives. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.